All right, we're going to have a little fun this morning. Not that we usually don't have fun, but we're going to have some fun today. Best answer wins. Why did Jesus come to earth? True, but that's not the best answer. Still trying. Oh, yeah. Prizes. Best answer wins. What do you got? To die for our sins. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Not the winner. To seek and save the lost. Wait, what? Oh, you are so close. You're like 50 cents close. You're like almost there. To be the Lamb of God? Do what? It was a plan from the beginning, and Jesus comes to earth and he lives in the flesh so that we can all what? Survive. You guys are so close. I mean, you're all so spiritual and faithful. All right, Kim, I'm going to give you your closest. Your closest. I don't have any quarters, so you get a dollar. It's expensive being a teacher. I do that to my seventh graders in math. You pull out a dollar and say, first right answer wins, and they all just, they pay attention just like that. Yeah. But then I got to give them a ride to Sonic. Yes, you're all right. But what I wanted us to see this morning is that Jesus came to earth to show us the Father. He says, no one has ever seen God, but I have come from His very presence and have come down to you so that you can see what He looks like, what His nature is like, and know and believe what I already know. And so we've got just fun and interesting and amazing stories of Jesus while he's here in the flesh with his ministry, just over and over trying to show his disciples and trying to show anyone who will listen. He looks at him and says, I know God. I know God very closely, very intimately, and God is trying to get you to know him as well. And so we get this amazing story in Mark chapter 11. He's going along with his disciples one day and he sees a fig tree, sees the leaves there, and he goes on it. He's kind of hungry. He wants a snack. And I mean, it's almost Nature Valley grain bar, like Fig Newton type stuff. And Jesus goes to it and there's no figs. There's no fruit. Well, you're a tree. You look like you should have fruit, but you're not growing anything. So he curses it. He curses it. If you're gonna take up the sunlight and the rain and the soil and not make anything good out of it, you're cursed. You're done. Now, again, and you can go back to Mark chapter 11 because this story's really big and it's got a lot of meaning in there. He goes and he clears out the temple and he turns the tables over and he says, my Father's house should be a house of prayer and you guys are messing all this up. And they're going back the next morning and they're walking by and the disciples go, oh, Jesus, that fig tree, you cursed it and it's dead. Now again, you and I are going along and someone says, that billboard is evil. It should come down. And you drive by the next day and that billboard's laying on the ground. You'd be impressed, wouldn't you? Oh, you cursed that billboard and look at it. Jesus isn't impressed. It's very matter of fact. And he says to him, he says, look, I want you to know something. If you ask the Father and you believe in your heart, you're receiving it. Church, this morning we're going to take a look at the Father as best we can. As best we can. But every single one of us has to believe it. We can read scripture, we can say words, we can tell a great story. But if you do not believe in our Heavenly Father, it's not going to do you any good. So when you do hear about him, when we hear the words in the Bible that just tell us this is what the Father looks like, when we hear the words of Jesus and he describes for us things that are hard to imagine because maybe we've never seen something that perfect, you need to have faith. You need to have faith. And side note, Holy Spirit, this is not me. Maybe when we see things like bad billboards and dirty things around us, we need to be praying harder. Maybe we need to be praying for some fig trees to wither up, right? That's not what we usually do, is it? No, we lament how bad things are. Maybe we need to be like Jesus and start praying and saying, yeah, if you're not going to produce any good fruit, we don't need you around. Wow. All right, so we're going to go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to try better to see him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, for all the reasons that we've shared this morning, for all that he has done for us. But Father, we're especially thankful that Jesus has shown us you. Father, as we study your scriptures today, I pray that you increase our faith. I pray that we will walk in the faith of Jesus. I pray that we will trust the words that you have given us. I pray, Lord, that we will not fear, that we will be spirit-filled, that we will walk in righteousness, and that when you tell us something about yourself, that we will believe it and that we will trust it. Blessed be your name. We offer this prayer through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bible. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to start there this morning. Steve was right in his introduction this morning. It's a really good chapter about the Father. You know, there are so many things a father gives their children, aren't there? So many things that a father gives their children. A father gives his children a name. A father gives his children a name. You know, it's the family name, the surname, and maybe some of you remember hearing your father tell you that your specific name held a certain honor or prestige that one needed to live up to. Father provides a home. Father provides a safe place for his family to be. A lot of times the father provides a work ethic. This is how we do things. This is how we do things correctly. A father provides discipline. Not always fun, not always easy, but sometimes absolutely necessary. I enjoyed seeing some of the pictures on Facebook. We had two of our families that were on vacation this last week, and they got to go fishing. Real fishing, not like, you know, a string in the pond fishing, but I mean like real fishing. And I think that how many times a father shares with his children their hobbies, just the things that they enjoy doing, the things that bring them joy to their heart. And so a father shares hobbies. And a father shares for his family an example of faith. A father shares for his family an example of faith. Now, we, whether we are fathers or one day we may be fathers, but right now I'm going to speak to those of you that are fathers, we need to be mindful of our example. Because good or bad, your children are watching. And good or bad, your children are learning. Now I'm going to speak to every single one of us. Because sometimes we struggle with this idea, this aspect of God. Because not all of us had great fathers. Some of us had fantastic fathers. Some of our fathers are still with us. Some of our fathers are gone. And we just hold on to their memory and their lessons. Some of our fathers were bums. They weren't there for us. That we didn't see love the way that it should be. And so we all we all come to this day and this lesson and even just scripture about Father with a lot of stuff. But church, here's the good news. Here's the good news is that when we see God for who He is, and 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Now, this amazing promise in Scripture says, look, it doesn't matter what kind of earthly father you have had or what your experience is. God loves us so much that He has made it so that we could be His children. That's why Scripture so many times says that we have been adopted into His family. That it doesn't matter where we came from, He looks right at us and said, "I love you and I want you to be close to me, so join the family." And what a wonderful, wonderful spiritual story that all of us have been adopted into God's family. That it didn't matter what family we came from or what earthly experience that we have, that God says, "I choose you. I choose you. I choose to love you. And I choose to take care of you. And I choose to give you all that I have to offer if you'll accept it." If you'll accept it. Kevin read for us in Psalm 103, and we're going to come back to 1 John, but I want to go to Psalm 103 for a minute, because in Psalm 103, what we see is a wonderful picture of this love that God has lavished on us to make us His children. This love that He has poured out all over us. That He has just opened up heavens and said, "Here's some blessing and here's some blessing." And so we see it in Psalm 103. We saw it in Ephesians chapter 3. We see all the spiritual blessings from heaven that God is just pouring out on His children. And again, it doesn't surprise us, because so many of God's children just live in anger. So many of God's children have been traumatized, or so many of God's children are just rebellious. And just shake their fist at Him and say, "Well, we don't want what you have. We don't want your love. We don't want your teaching. We don't want your example. We don't want it." But God, it still in His love, just extends Himself to us. And He says, "I give you everything I have. And you can enjoy it or you cannot enjoy it." But those of us that enjoy it, those of us that have seen the Father, look at back in Psalm 103. Because David's song here recounts the ways that our Heavenly Father pours out His love. And he says there in verse 2, I love what he says here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Remember all the good that God has given you. Don't you enjoy doing that? Don't you enjoy just thinking about all the good that God has done for you? And you think back through your short history and you say, "Well, I saw God's blessing here, and God provided here, and I really wasn't sure how we were going to get out of this difficult situation, but God saw a way. And I'm not really sure how God's going to take care of this week or today. And yet God will show us a way." He's given us in verse 3, He forgives our iniquity. All the ways in which you and I fall short, mess it up, make mistakes, He forgives. He looks at our iniquity and He doesn't say, "Oh, bad kids." That's not what He says. He looks at us and He says, "Oh, poor kids, I forgive you." What a blessing! What a blessing that our Father in heaven forgives our iniquities. He looks at us. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly where we've been. And He extends His arm and He extends His heart and He extends His love. And He says, "I want you anyway." How many times have we in prayer just allowed our shame to keep us at a distance from God? "No, God can't love me. I've messed it up. God can't love me. Look what I've done. Who could ever love me? Look at my past." And God says, "I love you." That's how big my love is. He forgives us of our iniquity. And then in verse 3 continues, "He heals our diseases." He heals our diseases. What is broken, He sets right. And verse 4, "He redeems your life from the pit." He picks you up from the bad place that you were and He puts you in a better place. I won't even ask you to raise your hand with me, but any of us, Ever spent a day in the pit? And he pulls us up out of that. He pulls us up out of that. We were in trouble. We were a mess. And he redeems us from that mess. So we have redemption in him. And then in verse 4, he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. That is, your Father in heaven puts a crown upon your head. He anoints you with steadfast love. Steadfast love means it's always there. It's constant, it's consistent, and it's forever. Steadfast love. He puts that on your head. He says, I love you. I love you always. And he crowns you with mercy. He crowns you with mercy, not, oh, you better live up to the family name, or you better do what's right every time you make a mistake or you get out of line. I'm coming down on you. No, he's crowned our head with mercy. He's crowned our head with mercy so that he understands our weakness. Verse 5, he satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the evil. God, our Father, satisfies with good. Now, that requires some faith sometimes, doesn't it? Because we think in our wisdom that we know what's good. So God, you better answer this prayer exactly how I need you to answer it, because I know what's good. And then God says, no, not really. So I'm going to answer it like this. And we say, wait a minute. Wait, God brought some good that I wasn't even prepared for. God brought some good that I did not even see coming. But he satisfies us with good. And because he is God, because he literally made everything, because everything is his, not everybody recognizes it, but guess what? Everything's his. Everything came from him, and everything is going to answer to him, and everything's going back to him. It's all his. We can fight against it. We see a lot of people that fight against it. You can. I mean, that's your choice. That's your choice. But that's just not a good place to be. That's not a good place to be. That's not a place of joy and experiencing the love and the good that he gives. Now, look at this promise that he gives us in verse 10. Oh, I underlined it. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Our Father in heaven does not give us what we deserve. Amen. Right? Yeah. His mercy and his love, he's lavished out on us, and he doesn't look at us and go, oh, well, you know, you've done this. You've done this. You deserve punishment. You deserve death. You deserve anything you get that is bad. Now, we do. We do. We deserve those bad things, and God does not treat us that way. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He deals with us according to his love. His love. Amen. I would underline it. I would highlight it. I'd make it the background of my phone. God does not deal with us according to our sins. He deals with us according to his nature, his perfection, and his mercy. And then in verse 13, the last thing I want to see, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Hey, did you ever have that time when you were raising your kids and one of them just messed up? And they knew it was coming? And you surprised them by showing them mercy? You ever have that situation? Or maybe you were the kid. And you messed up and you knew it was coming. And your parent surprised you with mercy. Right? Yeah, I had that opportunity with my boys. There were some times where they did something and they just knew, here it comes. And what is it, spankings? Am I grounded? How bad is this going to be? And we just talked. And I loved them. I accepted their apology. I said, okay. Sometimes mercy surprises us, doesn't it? Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does, but God is compassionate. He's compassionate, and that's how wonderful and amazing he is. All right, let's go back to 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John. Now that we've seen what an amazing, awesome God and Father that we have, John writes to the church, and he uses this analogy, and he opens up our eyes to understanding our Father. I want us to start in 1 John chapter 2 at the very end, verse 28. 1 John 2:28. 2:28 says, "Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we're God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." All right, so John begins this section back in 2:28, and he says, "Abide in him so that when he shows up, you're not going to cringe and hide." Now, what Bible story does that immediately bring us back to? Where'd they have to hide from God? Very beginning, right? In the garden, the devil came to him and said, "Did God really say that? He didn't mean it. He's just keeping you down. God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to enjoy everything. And this fruit is tasty. Looks good, smells good, tastes good. Come on, have a bite." God's just afraid, because he knows when you make your own decisions that you'll be your own God. Again, if you're paying attention, Satan hadn't had to come up with any new material in all these years. If you just follow me and make your own decisions, you too can be God. God's afraid of that. And so they do. They take a bite from the fruit. They take a bite from the fruit, and God shows up in the garden. And what do? They hide. They hide. And so John says to us as Christians, as those who have had our sins forgiven, he says, abide with God. Make your home with God. You don't visit God. You live with God. If you're a visitor to God's kingdom, you're probably in trouble. Okay? Christianity is not a part-time thing. It's not, I think I need some help, so I guess I'll throw up a prayer. Or, I used to know something about God, so let me call upon his name. John says, live with him. Stay close. Stay connected. If Adam and Eve had stayed close to the Father, they wouldn't have been messing around following the serpent. They wouldn't have gotten in trouble. How many times does that keep us out of trouble when we're close to God, right? Absolutely. Make your home, abide with God, so that when he does appear, when Jesus shows up, when everything's just opened up and he is right here, that we don't have to go, uh-oh. I know how I've been living. He knows how I've been living. No, when he shows up, we say, I'm glad you're here. This is what I've been waiting for. I'm so excited. This is it. And so he starts with that. Abide in him so that when he appears. So as his children, we are God's children now. We practice righteousness. That's what God's kids do. They practice righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness are the things that are good and the things that are right. That's righteousness. So when we are God's children, we do what God does. We do the right thing. We do what is good for others because that's what God does. And so being his family, being his children means that we allow ourselves to be humble enough to accept his nature. We accept his nature because God is good. God is good, and so we want to be good. And so we do good, and we love other people, and we put their needs above our own. And we don't go through life saying or asking ourselves, well, how can I make today easier? How can I make myself happier? We actually look around ourselves and go, where's someone that needs my help? Where's someone around me that needs to be encouraged? Where's someone around me that needs to be built up? That has a problem or is suffering, that I can help them. That's what God's children do. That's what it means to be righteous. God has forgiven our sins, and he has done so that we can be like him. So many people have this misunderstanding that to come to Jesus, to get baptized, is just to have that one time washing, the clearing of the slate, so that, oh yay, good, all the guilt is gone, so now I can go back being my own God again. So that I can just dirty it up again. No! No, God forgives us of our sins so that we can be righteous, so that we can be like him. We don't become God. We don't replace God, but we get to take on his family name and his nature, and we get to live our lives like he lives. That's amazing. That's amazing. He makes this contrast here, doesn't he? He says there are children of God and there are children of who? The devil. Huh? No in between. There are no neutral parties. They're not, I'm not sure about God, but okay, I don't really want to do the devil thing, so I'm just going to stay right here in the middle. Did anybody catch the middle road in that scripture we read? No, it didn't exist. It didn't exist! There's children of God and there's children of the devil. One or the other. One or the other. And so children of God walk in God's light. We've been redeemed. Our sins have been forgiven. And so what do we want to do? We want to be like our Father. Because he's good. He's good. We don't want to be like the devil anymore. Because that was bad. That was bad. So we don't want to walk in that way anymore. We don't want to have to hide from God. We don't want to live our lives in shame. You ever held on to shame? Shame ever made you hide? That's not fun. That's not fun. You got to lie to cover the lies that you were using to cover the lies. Or you were doing something that if anyone else knew about, they'd be ashamed of you, wouldn't they? Oh boy, if my parents found out about that one. Yeah, shame's not fun. Shame's not fun. And when you're trying or you're claiming or saying that you want to be good or you want to be righteous and you're not living righteous lives, it's difficult and it's shameful. It's shameful. So, since we know that sin is from the devil, he tells us there in chapter 3, verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. I mean, we had two baptisms yesterday, and we got a couple more today. And that's it. When you are born of God, and that's why we are reborn in baptism, we are born again, born to a new life. His seed abides in us, his spirit, his deposit, what grows in us to make us live lives that are more like him. His seed abides in us. And in so doing, we don't keep on sinning. Why? Because we've been born of God. When we have been redeemed by God, we no longer live our lives to say, well, I just want to be selfish. I just want to do what's wrong. No, we want to do what's right. We want to do what's good. We want to search after and find what are the beneficial things in life. What makes for a good life. So we're no longer ignorant. Our eyes have been opened and we have been made God's children. And as such, we live by the family name. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul would describe it here. This is still just a part of being in his family. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So since we are beloved children, all right, we're not in the doghouse. God is not that parent that says, I'm too busy for you. Go play outside. God is not that parent that says, you're just too loud and you're just a hassle to me. Go play in traffic. That's not how God treats us. We are beloved children. We are beloved children. So when we run into his room, he puts his paper down, he puts his coffee down, he looks right at us. He says, hey, what are you doing today? What do we got into? And he opens and invites us. We are beloved children. And so what are we called to do? Imitate him. Imitate God. That is, live like him. Love like him. Share like him. And walk in love. Walk in love. We do good and we love. This is the legacy and the name that our Father in heaven has given us. To do good and to love. To do good and to love. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It is. It is. It's not complicated. It's not a long list. I mean, it's not even that thick. Do good and love. Now, for some of us, I know it's not enough, is it? It can't be that simple. Really, God just wants me to do good and love? Yeah, you get those two things down and come back and talk to me. I'll give you the next chapter. No, really, I'll challenge you today. You go out and you do good and you love. Always do good and love everybody. And when you get that mastered, you come back and I'll show you the next chapter. I'll show you the secrets. Church, that's the secret. That's the secret. Imitate God. Do good, love. Do good, love. What if we all just did that this week? I mean, you want to talk about radical? You know what's radical? It's just the simple thing. The message of God is not difficult. It's very simple. It's not difficult to read. It's not difficult to understand. It's just difficult to do, right? And why is it difficult to do? Because the flesh just keeps on coming. The devil still wants us to be a part of his family. The devil knows where he's going. He knows where he's going. And the only thing he knows is that misery loves company. Why should I suffer alone when I can take you with me? But we are a part of God's family. Let's turn over to John chapter 1. We'll close it up here. Because yesterday, we had two baptisms here, and heaven was rejoicing. And John and Catherine, right? Yeah, I remembered. Yeah. I remember scripture, names, not so much. This is John and Catherine, so if you haven't had a chance to meet them, they're here with us today. And so they had some of their family members baptized yesterday, and we're really excited about it. It was really amazing. And today we're going to have some that are baptized into Jesus Christ. And then tomorrow as well. And it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a good weekend for Jesus around here. Love it. Absolutely love it. And this is the legacy that God has given us. And he has made us a part of his family. And he has told us, look, there's room for my family to be so big. And I want you just to invite everybody in. I want you to let everybody know the good news that Jesus has brought to us from the Father is that he actually loves us. That he loves us. And the way to God, the Father, who sits on his throne in perfection, is not beating ourselves up or, well, I'm gonna try to do better this time. I'm gonna really fix my life. I'm gonna clean up my life. I'm gonna clean my mess. You can't. You can't. That's why Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to die on the cross to fix your mess. Because spiritually, you can't fix anything. You can only receive. You can't fix your mess. That's why we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have to be honest with ourselves and with God and say, you know what? I can't do it. I can't do anything good to make me get to where you are. I can't build a ladder, physical or spiritual. I can't say enough prayers or do enough nice things to other people to where you would say, oh, good, finally, one of them's finally acting right. Our confession is, I can't do anything but receive what Jesus has done for me. That's why it's called grace. That's why it depends on mercy. That's why it depends on you and I trusting the sacrifice of Jesus, trusting that God was satisfied with the perfect life of His Son to pay for all sin. And that's why He calls upon us to look at Him and to trust Him and to put our faith in Him and say, I believe that the Son of God paid the price for my sins. That's faith. That's faith. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we're called to invite others to join in on. I want to close it up in John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look at all those verbs in there. They're all passive verbs. They are things that are done for us. All who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave us the right to become God's children. See, church, everybody's born of the flesh. Everybody's born of the flesh. But God calls us to be born of Him. And He lets us make that decision. He lets us see the witness. He lets us see the life of Jesus Christ and decide for ourselves, is that the good that I want? Do I want love and understanding and mercy and forgiveness? If so, then we put our faith in Him. Because all who believe in His name, He has given the right to be called His children. So He says, look, I got room for a big family, and everybody's invited. Everybody's invited. So this morning, if you need to accept the invitation, if you need to receive the promises that God gives us through Jesus Christ, if you need to be a part of His family, He offers it to you. He offers it to you. And He tells you the benefits, and He tells you how to receive it. If you need to receive His love and His mercy this morning in Jesus Christ, we invite you to come. And if you have not been living by God's promises, it's time to start. It's time to start. Jesus said to His followers back in Mark chapter 11, fig tree, that's not a big deal. Anything you ask in His name, He is happy to give you. That's also the story where He says, hey, you know, if you say to that mountain, pick yourself up and go over there. And again, it's one of those stories that it sounds crazy, right? It sounds impossible. Who can move mountains? I can't move mountains. No, God can. God can.